But there are scientists working on connecting minds to computers right now. Could their work really let me back up, reboot, and cheat death that way? Off to the Brain Computer Interfaces Lab at the University of Essex in the UK.
Hello,
nice to meet you.
Hi, Amanda.
Hello, Marnie, nice to meet you.
My name is Luca Citti. I'm a reader at the University of Essex. My research interest is on processing neural signals to understand what the brain is trying to communicate.
My name is Anna Matran. I just finished my PhD, which was on brain-computer interfaces, and now I am working as a senior research officer.
Okay. So, next to you guys is a chair, a little bit like a dentist's chair, and then hooked on the back of it are these kind of brightly coloured sort of, they look like swimming hats, and then lots and lots and lots of wires. Talk me through what this is.
These caps are basically what we're going to be putting on your head in a bit. They have some holes in them.
So you've got about 60 of these things, did you say?
Yeah.
Little sort of plastic holes on this swimming cap, and each one is going to pick up a signal from a particular part of my brain. So you'll be able to tell roughly what part of my brain I'm using with a particular thought.
Yeah, very roughly, that's the idea.
Okay. But it must take ages to set this thing up.
About half an hour.
Right. So should we get started then? Yes?
Sure.
I don the swimming cap, and whilst my mind is wired up to the computer, Luca explains how the device works.
Basically, we are recording neural signals, in this case using electroencephalography, so electrodes placed on the scalp, and then we apply some mathematical tools to make sense of those signals and try to control an external device, like a computer or a robot, a wheelchair.
So you're reading that my brain is working in some way, and then you're trying to convert that into some sort of signal.
That's kind of the idea. But your brain is made of a huge number, like one with 11 or so zeros, neurons, and we only have 60 or so electrodes. What we can see is just a tiny part of what's happening in your brain. So we cannot really understand exactly what your brain is thinking. But if you want, you can generate signals that we can understand. So we need an effort from you to try and communicate.
So this is an imprecise science. This isn't on a level. What you're doing, Anna, isn't on a level of reading my thoughts.
No, definitely not. You would have to be thinking a very specific type of thought for us to really know or to be able to pick it up.
Well, my secrets are safe now.
Yes, completely.
So to be clear here, this kit can't read my mind. But if I think really hard about specific actions which use a particular region of my brain, the computer might be able to pick up that mental activity. It's early stage technology, developed to help people who are paralysed from the neck down one day control a wheelchair or even speak. On with the hookup process. Soon, my hair was full enough of gel to connect me to the system, where I had to play a computer game, a very unusual one where, rather than hitting buttons, I have to think specific thoughts at exactly the right point.
We're going to be controlling an avatar in a video game.
Okay, so there's on screen, there's a classic scenario that you've seen from adventure films like Mission Impossible or Bond. It's basically running along the top of different train carriages. But rather than Bond, I am a small brown robot thing. Is that about right?
I was going to say, if you describe it like that, when people watch the video, they're going to be very disappointed.
Yes, there is a video online of me doing this. Head to bbcworldservice.com/crowdscience and this week's webpage to see it. The train that my little avatar was running along had different coloured carriages, and for every colour, I had to think of moving a specific part of my body. For example, the blue carriage, I had to imagine waving my left hand, and for the yellow carriage, I was waggling my feet. These imaginings use different parts of my brain, and the computer can tell that. After a couple of trial runs, it's time for a race.
So I'm sitting in the corner, and I'm trying to be quiet because Marnie is really concentrating, and her little robot is doing quite well, but then every now and then you can tell she doesn't think it quite right because a massive bolt of lightning comes down from the top of the screen and squishes her robot.
God, this is
76. That's normal. It's the first time.
So I can do left hand. Thinking of my right hand seems to be a problem.
Anna, how do I get better at this?
There's no formula for it. I think practice and, just practice.
Now, I'm not a sore loser, but it's fair to say that this brain-computer interface isn't up to personality transfer yet. To successfully download our brains, we'd need to be able to tell what each brain cell was doing. If you think of your brain and its memories as a map of the world, at the moment we've got a rough idea where most of the countries are. To download your personality, we'd need to know the roads, the rivers, each house and who lives there. We're not even slightly there yet. But, I ask Luca, will we be in the future?
From what we know about the brain at the moment, we have a lot of work to do before we can be able to map the whole brain and produce a machine that can emulate the functioning of the brain.
There are some people who are hoping to download ourselves. Do you think that could be a reality? They're talking 2045. How likely do you think that is?
Basically, modelling the pace of the progress we've done in the recent years, imagining that we keep with the same pace, for example, the number of logic gates that we can put in a computer, and imagining that we discover more about the brain, they predict in maybe 30 or 40 years we'll be able to do that. I'm a little more skeptical. I think unless that some major breakthrough happens, for example, we discover some computers that can be much, much faster, and we will also need imaging techniques that are not just more precise than what we have, but that use maybe a different principle in order to be able to download the content of the brain, especially if we want to try and do it on a person who's still alive, maybe just before death. So I think we still have probably decades or centuries before we can do that. But that's my personal opinion.
If I wanted to basically back up my brain and get the contents working in another device, it would have to work according to systems we know, like a computer. How much is the brain actually like a computer?
There are algorithms that try to mimic how the brain works, for example, artificial neural networks. For example, in the game called Go, which is a game which is order of magnitude harder than chess, the computer was able to beat 4 times out of 5 the human professional player.
But could it make a cup of tea?
But it couldn't make a cup of tea. The thing is that the way these networks work is just barely modeled after the human brain, but it doesn't reflect the complexity of really what's going on in the brain.
So the idea of keeping me alive after my body has failed using some sort of replacement avatar isn't there yet. But I think there is something in this robot thing. What if I could replace my worn-out bits one at a time and slowly become a cyborg, rather than completely transferring into a new machine? Well, that happens to be something Luca is working on too, specifically building a robotic arm.
We're part of a project where we try to build prostheses that are directly attached to the bone and allow the amputee to control the motors of this robotic hand in a natural way, trying to control the device as they would control a natural hand.
So might you be able to turn yourself into a cyborg, like kind of replace certain bits of you with robotics? I mean, that's a kind of life after death, isn't it?
We still have a long way to go, but we are understanding more and more of how the brain communicates with the muscles and other organs. So eventually it's likely that we will be able to replace the functionality for people who have lost a limb, for example.